We're discussing yesterday the shaila as to whether Gaza is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned a tshuva of the Radvaz and a tshuva of the Maharit. But before getting back to those discussions, just to give you a bit of a broader perspective, Gaza was one of those, you may call it an entry point into Eretz Yisrael for those who were traveling from Europe. If they came through Egypt, they sometimes came Alexandria, Cairo, and then a journey through the deserts, ending up in Gaza, and from there, up into Eretz Yisrael. The other pathway was to come from the north, Turkey, Syria, and then down south. As we described, the Shlah took that approach when he came in the mid-1600s. But just to give an example, Avram Ya'ari, in his Sefer Masaos Eretz Yisrael, writes that Rav Yehuda al-Kharizi, who was one of those Spanish literary figures who translated the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim from Arabic into Lashon HaKodesh, so he actually traveled to Eretz Yisrael in 1218, and he writes that after his long desert journey through the Sinai Desert, he came from Mitzrayim to Gaza. That was his first stop or arriving point in Eretz Yisrael. That was in 1218. That same Sefer Masos Eretz Yisrael cites another traveler, this time from the late 1400s, Rav Meshulam ben Menachem, who was an Italian Jewish banker from the city of Florence. And he left Italy and in 1481 traveled from Italy to Alexandria, from Alexandria to Cairo. He stayed in Cairo for about 3 weeks until July 10th, 1481, and then he writes, as Avram Ya'ari quotes, that he traveled for 11 days through the desert till he finally reached Gaza. And just to give you perspective, Avram Ya'ari writes that he, this Rav Meshulam ben Menachem, describing what he found in the various cities that he stopped off in 1481, so listen to his descriptions of the various Jewish communities. Alexandria, he says, there were 60 Jewish families in 1481. Cairo, there were 800 Jewish families, and in Gaza, in 1481, 60 Jewish families. So compared to Cairo, it's a drop in the bucket, relatively small Jewish community. But it was on par with Alexandria in 1481 in terms of the number of families. Now that's somewhat significant because the tshuva we quoted yesterday from the Maharit himself actually stopped off in Gaza himself for a time. He lived later. He lived in the late 1500s, early 1600s. The Maharit of Yisrael Trani started off in Tzfas. He had to eventually flee because of plague from Tzfas down to Gaza, to Egypt. That was in 1586. So he stopped over in Gaza about 100 years after this Rav Meshulam ben Menachem. So he too came to Gaza briefly in 1586. But in the tshuva we quoted yesterday, he was asked in 1597 about a Jewish family that had been living in Gaza, had to flee because of some business issues, shall we say, conflicts. They fled from Gaza down to Egypt. And this fellow who fled from Gaza to Egypt, his two sons got married there in Cairo. And then when time passed, they wanted to go back to Gaza. So the two brothers went back, but one wife didn't follow them. She was from Egypt, she was from Cairo, she wasn't going back to Gaza. So her husband goes to Gaza, leaves her in Cairo. He sends messages to her, come on, I'm waiting for you, come here, things are good here, I have Parnassa here. She refuses to go. He comes back to Cairo to get her, she still refuses to go. So Maritus finally asks the Shaila, what does this guy do? His wife's refusing to go to Gaza. And can he force her based on the din in the Gemara Ksubas, HaKol Ma'al in the Eretz Yisrael, that one spouse can force the other spouse to go to Eretz Yisrael? Or can he not force her? And if he can't force her, can he marry a second wife because she's refusing to follow him? So that was the Shaila posed to Maharit in 1597. So in the context of that tshuva, which I quoted briefly yesterday, he first of all paskins that Gaza is not part of Eretz Yisrael. That was the Maharit's psak. And he criticizes the questioner who in his question refers to Gaza, Achas Me'are Yehuda. Maharit says, you thought you could refer to it as Achas Me'are Yehuda to get me to Paskin, I'll call Malin. Not so fast. It's not part of Eretz Yisrael, period. I'm not telling you can force her to go with you to Gaza. But in the context of that discussion, that when he says that Oz is not part of Eretz Yisrael, so the Maharit writes, he says, first of all, Puk Chazi, he says, look at the Minhag Yisrael, he says, Kol Yisrael she yashu shal meyolam, the Jews have lived there for the longest time, Vishanim Karmonios, and from earlier years, they've always treated like Chutz La'aretz, he says. And he writes, even Rabboseinu HaKarmonim B'Yerushalayim, they treat it like Chutz La'aretz with regard to Truvos and Maisros. And listen to what he writes. He says, Rov HaPeros VaTivua Shal Yerushalayim Mevi'im LaMe'aza. Most of the produce that's brought to Yerushalayim, he's writing in 1597, comes from Aza. And they're never mafir Shumas and Maisros from it. They treat it like it's like Chutz La'aretz. Maybe on a Darbanan level, perhaps. But he says, no, they treat it like Chutz La'aretz. In Shumas and Maisros, he says, they treat it like Chutz La'aretz, period. That's what he writes. And he says it's kechutz laretz gemura legabe kol advarim. He says avira is tame like aver chutz laretz. And then he writes. He says, and anyways, he says to make her come from Mitzrayim to Aza. He says Mitzrayim is an ir gedola shel chachamim and sofrim. And he says in Aza, he writes, they don't even have a poseach sefer. They don't even have somebody who knows how to learn. He says there's no Talmud Torah there. He says there's no doctor there. He says you can't force your wife to come from Mitzrayim to Aza, to come from a city of many, many Jews to a city of hardly any. So this is the Maharit writing in 1597 describing the scenario that he encountered in Aza. Just to give you one more bit of perspective, that same traveler from 1481, to describe the 60 families in Aza and the 800 families in Cairo, Jewish families, he says Yerushalayim at that time had 250 families. So somewhere in between Aza and Cairo in 1481. So that was the tshuva of the Maharit. One of our chaverim pointed out to me yesterday that there's another well-known Jewish figure who lived in Aza, Rabbi Yisrael Najara, the author of the Karibon, who was born in Tzfas. He was born in Tzfas in the year 1550. He lived in Damascus for a long time, but at the end of his life, last 4 years of his life, he was the Av Basin of Aza, 1621, 1625, and he's buried there apparently. Shal Najara, the author of Karibon, apparently was the Rav and Av Basin of Aza the last 4 years of his life, the early 1600s, 1621, 1625, and he died there, Shal Najara. A later figure, not famous but infamous, Natan Ha'azati. He was the 20-year-old upstart who declared himself Eliyahu HaNavi and was the spokesperson for Shabbat HaTzvi. When Shabbat HaTzvi returned from Turkey to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, he picked up Nathan of Gaza, as they call him, along the way. He was the local Gaza Jewish resident who thought of himself as Eliyahu HaNavi. So not a famous figure, but an infamous figure who lived in Gaza in whatever Jewish community was there in the 1660s when Shabbat HaTzvi passed through Gaza. One more, this time famous traveler, the Chida, who was known as one of the great Gedolei Achronim, Chaim Yosef David Azulai. In the 1700s, he was a shliach for Ir HaKodesh Chevron. He traveled from Chevron to North Africa, to Europe, to raise funds for the Chevron Jewish community. So he made two long trips abroad in the 1750s and the 1770s. And we have diaries of his trips. And Al-Chido is amazing as a prolific rabbinic author, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim. But he actually kept a diary of his trips through these cities that he passed through on his way to perform this fundraising effort for Chevron. So one of his diaries are published, say for Ma'agal Tov LaHachida, published in 1934, based on the manuscript they had in the JTS library. See, he writes how in Shvat 1753, he left Chevron, he came to Aza, he says, Chof Aleph Shvat, he stayed in Aza for over 50 days, Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. If you look in the calendars online, you'll see that that was a leap year in the Hebrew calendar, 1753. And then he bemoans, he writes, this gives you some sense as to what was going on there in Aza in 1753, he says, Si'arti ba'atzmi, I was very distressed, al Shabbos Zachar, that I was stuck in Aza for Shabbos Zachar. Shahinu Parshim mi Yishuv Yehudim. I had to take leave of the Jewish community, and I was stuck here in Aza for Parsha Zachar. But he says, B'racham avis b'racha kadosh baruch, for whatever reason, He wants me to get stuck here. Parsha Zachar. Almost sounds like he didn't even have a minyan there. Doesn't say it explicitly, but he's being mitzar that he was stuck in Aza for Parsha Zachar. He says, I finally got out of there. Moshe Shabbos Kodesh, Yud Beis Adar Sheni, just in time for Purim. He managed to get out of Aza, he says. So that's in 1753. That's what was happening in Aza then. So just quickly coming back to summarize what we saw in the Maharit. As I mentioned yesterday, the Maharit disagrees with the Radvaz. The Radvaz, who we quoted yesterday, who was primarily in Egypt in the first half of the 1500s. So the Radvaz was of the opinion, and he writes this in his Chuvus, that Aza is definitely Chayav and Shemus and Maisos, either Midaraisa or Midrabanan. He says Aza is included in Eretz Yisrael. He says that, he quotes the Kaftor Vatherach, Rabbi Shtori HaParchi, one of the Rishonim from the 1200s, who was famous for having traveled Eretz Yisrael and having written about the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And the Radvaz passes like the Kaftor Vatherach that Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. He says that it was part of the Kibush of Olim Mitzrayim, part of Yeshua's conquest when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So Radvaz and the Kaftor Vatherach passes and Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. The Maharit, on the other hand, as we said, writing in 1597, disagrees. And he says, no. He says that Aza is part of Chutz La'aretz. And as Raya pointed out yesterday, he brings Raya from the Mishnah in Gittin, that anything south of Ashkelon is Chutz La'aretz. Aza is south of Ashkelon, is part of Chutz La'aretz. And so whereas the Radvaz and the Kaftor Vatherach paskin that Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael, it's at least part of Olim Mitzrayim, whether it's part of Olim Bavel or not, the Radvaz says he's not sure if the Olim Bavel, meaning Ezra and his generation, conquered Aza again. He's not sure of the Radvaz, but the Radvaz says that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. The Maharit, however, disagrees. He says, no, it's part of Chutz La'aretz. It's not part of Eretz Yisrael at all. And as I mentioned before, the Maharit cites the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim and previous generations who always treated the produce of Aza as having been produce of Chutz La'aretz in every which way, not chayim in any dinim of Eretz Yisrael. He says, Chutz La'aretz gemur l'chol ha'dvarim, he writes. It's like Chutz La'aretz across the board. Okay, so Machlokas Gedolei Poskim, Maharit, Radvaz, Kaftor Vatherach, with regard to how one treats the status of Aza, whether it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael or part of Chutz La'aretz.